Hi there, brothers and sisters and dear friends, and thank you again for tuning in our study as we go through this letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia. A very important letter, and you may be sitting here today and ask the question, you say, why is this letter, the letter that Paul wrote to Christians in Galatia, so important to me? Why? Why are you teaching through this? Why did Paul take the effort to write this letter in his very own handwriting to these churches, and then in a prophetic application, how does this apply to me? Well, there's only one fact that I want to come down to, and that is words out of Paul's mouth himself, which is the inspired word of God. And that is found in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul writes to the church in Philippi the following, which apply to you and me. There in chapter 2 verse 12 he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, now that I go away from you, I want you to obey the following. What do we need to obey, Paul? And he says it so clearly for us. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And there you have it. There you have it. After we are saved by the blood of Christ, by the grace of God through faith, we are working on our salvation. We are working on the salvation that Christ has given us. You and I have got work to do. And this is what it's coming down to. You need to understand the book of Galatians. You need to understand these concepts that we are discussing here, that you know, we need to have freedom in Christ. What is he set us free from? And then you need to stay in that freedom. So the message of the Bible is to set us free. That is it. Jesus came to set the captives free. But this freedom is so easily lost. Now notice what I'm saying. Not your salvation, but the freedom is lost. And it comes back under bondage. And these obstacles in your way hinder you to grow. It hinders you to work on your salvation, because you are so hard working and trying to uphold laws and trying to become a better Christian by following restrictions and laws and all of these things, that you do not concentrate on the things that you need to grow in. It is what it's coming down to. And the devil will use these things to slow your progress down. Circumstances happen in your life, and all of a sudden you don't pray anymore, you don't concentrate on the Word of God anymore. It takes you time, it robs you of your time to spend time with God. And if you don't spend time with God, if you don't spend time with His Word, you won't grow. This is what it is. Paul says we need to work on your salvation. Circumstances happen and false teachers comes your way, as they came this church's ways. And they take you on a tangent. They bring you under the law. And they teach you all of these laws. And you spend so much time and effort in your human strength to uphold these laws that you stagnate. You don't grow anymore. Your joy is gone. It becomes tough and it becomes hard. Why? Because these obstacles are slowing you down. And, you know, you lose your freedom. And by losing your freedom, you're under bondage. And bondage makes you tired. It wears you out. Until some people just don't want to grow anymore. They stop going to church. They stop doing Bible studies. They stop praying. They stop doing all of these things. And they do not grow anymore. And that's exactly where the devil wants to have you. He wants to have you at that place when you don't grow anymore. Paul says we need to work on our salvation. Now, I can't work on your salvation. The church can't work on your salvation. You need to work on your salvation. And this is why you need to be so very careful who you listen to and what you hear. You see, these men came in and they put law on these people again. They say to them, you have to be circumcised. You have to uphold all of Moses' laws. And that weighed them down. And this kept him up. This fired him up to write this letter and to really take Peter on in his own face, in front of the whole church. And we're going to see a little bit of that. We're going to see the completion of what we started last week, how we took him on. I've come across people in my short time that I had the privilege of ministering and pastoring God's word, who are saved for years, but they are still at the elementary things of the word. You talk to them and they say, oh, look, I've been saved for 15, for 20 years. But when you start coming to the meaty things of the Word of God, they've got no understanding of that. And my dear friend, just listen to me. I'm by far not saying that I am well advanced of any one of you. But you, if you've been saved for a year, for 2 years, like a little baby, you need to have been grown and wean off the milk of the word and get to the meatier things. But there's all of these things that's holding you back. This is why this letter is so important. So now we saw that Paul took on Peter, this big man of God, and he withstood him in his face because Peter came there, he ate with the Gentiles. And when these Judaizers came from Jerusalem, from James, he stopped eating with the Gentile. All of a sudden, he's prim and proper. And he wouldn't associate, he broke fellowship with these group of Gentiles. And this is what Paul takes him on. He says, this is hypocritical. This is play acting. When you came here, you ate with them, and now all of a sudden you hold you on this. Now we're going to continue on this, and we're going to pick out a really important doctrine today. We're looking at verse 15, Galatians 2:15, and we're going to go to verse 21. Now follow how Paul craftily unpacked Peter's whole facade in front of the people. He says in verse 15, we who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles. What is he talking about here? He said, we are Jews. We were born naturally Jews. And we've got the law. The law was given to the Jews. It wasn't given to the Gentiles. He says, and not sinners of the Gentiles. He makes the distinction here brilliantly. He goes, and he's feeding a little bit to the pride of Peter here. He goes, we who are Jews by nature are not like these sinners. That's what you say. That's what you now, you don't want to sit with the Gentiles anymore. But he addressed this in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 2 verse 14, he says, when Gentiles who do not have the law, because it was given to the Jews, when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things of the law, by nature, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves. And we see this. We see actually that the law of God is ingrained in people's hearts. They just, a lot of them just don't know it. He says in verse 15, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves and their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Now what is Paul doing here brilliantly? He says to Peter, we have the law, but these Gentiles, we are looking down upon them. Their very own laws were looking down upon them as beneath them. I mean, if they walk down the street and they accidentally just bump into a Gentile, a Jew will go home, wash himself and put on new clothes. This is where they're coming from. He says, but the law is still operating in these Gentiles without their knowledge of operating the law. This is where it is coming down here. Now, I want to come down to verse 16. And I want you to count the following things. I'm going to highlight them to you. But you need to see now there's a new word that he brings in this letter. And in fact, we believe that Galatians was the first letter that Paul wrote. So this may be the very first time that he introduces the word justification or justified. And then also in the next few verses from 16 to 17, notice how he applies the word we. He talks about the Jews, he talks about him, and he talks about Peter, and he talks about James, and he talks about the Judaizers. Notice now, just by observing these words. In verse 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified, first time, justified, by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That's a very, very important statement. Even we, us Jews, have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Just in those two verses, three times he uses the word justified. And I'm going to talk to you now about the doctrine of justification. But he also uses the word we. He uses it so intermixedly there. And then in verse 17 he says, but while we seek to be justified, we as Jews, we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. Now let's go a little bit deeper, because I love this. What is Paul saying to Peter there in front of the church? He's saying, Peter, we are saved the same way that these Gentiles are saved. That's what he's saying. And the Jews look at him and they go, are you crazy? Where are you coming from? We have the law. These people don't have the law. And you are telling us, Peter, that we have to come to down to the level of the condemned Gentiles to be saved? And you know what Peter said to them? He said to them, yes, you need to know. He says, we are already there. We don't have to come down. Whether we were under the law, or whether these Gentiles were under no law, but it was a law which they kept unknowingly, we all are sinners. We're all sinners. This is what he's telling them. There's no holy rollers here. You can look at that. He says, we are justified by the works of the law, not by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And he uses the word we. Not by law, by faith. Not by law, by faith. And then he uses that beautiful word justification there. He says, man, you think that these people are condemned sinners and you're a little bit better because you've got the law? No way. You're already there. We are all sinners. There's no better sinner than another sinner. If you're a sinner, you're a sinner. And you fall short of the glory of God. Now he uses the word justification. Let me unpack that for you a little bit. The word justification is a legal term. You find this word in courts, in law, where there is a judge and, you know, there is somebody who comes and there's an accusation. He needs to be justified. And now he comes out and he says, if we stand in the law of God, you need to understand what is going to set you free. What is the justification? Now, he uses that word four times here, and like I say, for the very first time. And in fact, he's answering a question that Job asked. You remember old Job? He asked a question there in Job chapter 9, verse 2. He says, how can a man be righteous before God? If we come into God's court, which the Bible talks about the big court session, that's going to be held. Every man will appear before him. If you're a sinner, it's the white throne judgment. He says, if we come there, Job says, he says, what can or how can a man become righteous before God that there's no judgment upon us, that it falls good for us? And here is the answer. Here is the answer. Justification by faith in Christ alone. That is what it is, because it's written, and it's a very important question, by the way. Have you answered that question that Job is asking? What is justifying you? How will you be right? Listen to me, my friend. If you die and you open up your eyes and you look into the eyes of the Son of God, what will make you righteous? Have you answered that question? The answer is right here. In fact, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, we find it. He says, the just shall live by faith alone. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk. And Paul uses three books in the New Testament to unpack that statement, the just shall live by faith. It starts in the book of Romans, the just. Romans is all about the just. It's not the law, it's the just. Shall live comes out of Galatians. This is what we're addressing now. Because these Judaizers comes in and says, you need to live a certain way. You need to live according to the law. No. We live by faith in Christ. And then the book of Hebrews, which I believe, and you can believe different, but I believe that Paul has written the letter of Hebrews as well. And that is, the just shall live by faith. The whole letter in Hebrews is about faith. Three books. So I reckon it's a very important question to answer and for you to understand the doctrine of justification. Are you made just before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And what makes you just? This is what it is all about. So you may say, so what is justification then? Well, justification is the act of God where He declared the believing sinner righteous in Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that again for you. It is the act of God. The act of God, no other man, where He declared, God can declare anything, but He declared the believing sinner, it's by faith, righteous in Jesus Christ. There is the definition for justification. And this justification gives us peace. It's settled. The score is settled. The matter is done. The court case is over. For you, if you're a believing sinner who came to saving grace in the blood of Jesus Christ, it is said, the court case is over. You are found not guilty. Doesn't matter what you say. Not guilty for past, present, or future. You are set free. And that gives you peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Not only that, but it's also an act of God. And I love it when it says it's an act of God. Romans 8:33, he says, for who shall bring charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is God who brings the hammer down, the gavel down and says, not guilty. On what, God? On what? You know, the accuser can stand there and he says, on what grounds? On the grounds of the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. Only believe. It's God who declared the sinner righteous. This is what Paul is saying there from verse 16 to 17. And let me just quickly raise it again. Justified by works of law? No, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we, the Jews, believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. There's none other. And then he says there in verse 18, he says, he says, if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also be found sinners. He says, hey, so if you do not believe in this justification in Christ, then you are actually turning your back on Christ while He's hanging on the cross and walking away from His saving grace. Now, he was talking from verse 16 down to verse 17 about we. Now he's going to turn it to I. See how he brings it down personally now from verse 18 to 21. He's just going to now refer back to himself. Look at it. It says, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live in God or to God. He says, I'm not going to again teach the law. I'm not going to uphold the law anymore. I've destroyed that. It is now faith in Jesus Christ alone. I'm not going to become a transgressor against God. And then in verse 20, this is a verse that everybody loves to quote, but they don't put it in context. They don't go through the stuff which we've already looked at now tonight. He says in verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. I died to the law when Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's what happened. This is what that means. I've been crucified with Christ. When he was hanging on that cross, he took my sin with him to the cross. My sin that I've broken against the law of God. So in other words, when Christ died on the cross, I died to the law. You know, that's it. He says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. By what? By faith. I find it fascinating, friend. If it was faith plus works, why didn't Paul himself right there say that I live by faith plus upholding some of the laws? You know, some people who say it's only the sacrificial laws that's been fulfilled. No. He would have said there, I live by faith, and then I also, uphold this dietary law, this day law to keep this day or that. No. He says by faith alone, in the name of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. Please, my friend, whatever you do, do not set aside the grace of God. If you don't know what the grace is, go and read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Don't set it aside. Don't throw the gift of God back into his face. He says, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So righteousness did not come through the law. You cannot uphold the law. The law pushed you away from righteousness because you couldn't uphold it. This is why you uphold it in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop there tonight, and I pray the Lord will bless your heart with that until we see each other next week. And we're going to go now into chapter 3, and we will be looking at the warning against the confidence that some people have in the flesh. He's going to just keep on going until the end chapter of this book. But remember what I said, it's important for you as you work out your own salvation. So go this week and work on your salvation. May the Lord bless you. Amen.